If you are a real estate investor and you're looking for more funding for your deals, regardless of relying on hard money lenders or bankers or any kind of institutional money, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm your host, Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, and I've got my dear friend, Chaffee Tone Nguyen, right here live with me in the studio here in Morehead City, North Carolina. So welcome, Chaffee.
Hey, Jay.
All the way from Chicago.
Know, right?
This is like, I think this is the first show I've done with my guest sitting right here next to me, sort of like the Steve Train way.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, I'm excited to have you here. You were here all week for our mastermind meeting and then the 3-day live event. And you stuck around for a few days with your wife, Amy, and your kids, Adam and Henry. So y'all having a good time doing a vacation, right?
Well, working vacation,
yes,
right?
Yes.
We liked it here so much, Jay. We like hanging around you and Carol Joy and the team so much. We said, we're sticking around.
I love it. I love it. Well, first, I want to go ahead and give everybody a gift that wants to take me up on it, Chaffee. And that is I just recently released my new book. And in fact, Chaffee was my lead editor of this book. Where to Get the Money Now? How and Where to Get Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders. And what this book will show you is step by step, very easily, how I raised over $2 million in private money, private funding, when I lost my lines of credit at the bank. And I will give you this book for free. Just pay a couple of bucks for shipping and delivery. We'll send it right out to you. But Chaffee, why don't you just take a minute or two, since you're very, very familiar with this book. Why should somebody take me up on the free book offer?
Well, Jay, what I like about the book is that not only does it walk through your five steps of how to raise private money, it does so in a way that makes it easy to understand using stories and examples versus just, bullet points of what to do. So the bullet points are important, don't get me wrong. That's why we have the five steps. And it goes into more detail and explains how to do it and what they need to do. In addition to that, you also have some sample, like I said, examples and forms and other things in there that I was actually kind of surprised you put in there. So
right.
It's a huge value to have those sample documents that you have in there as well.
So you can get the book at www.jayconner.com/book, B-O-O-K. Again, that URL is jayconner, J-A-Y-C-O-N-N-E-R. .com/book, B-O-O-K, and we'll get that rushed right out to you. Well, Chaffee, you're the one that came up with the idea for the show today, and that is we can talk about the live event a little bit. And we had 74 what we call aha moments. So tell everybody what an aha moment is at the live event, Chaffee.
So first of all, let me say that this was one of the best live events that we had in a
it
long
was.
Time.
It was
ever.
Awesome.
And so to have everyone there, it was a full crowd, full room. Everyone was up and mixing and mingling and having a good time. And most importantly, learning what to do in their business, following Jay's processes and systems. And as you can see, it's multiple pages, 74 of aha moments, which is a moment where Jay talks and trains and teaches about what to do and how to do it. And the little light bulb comes on and it's like a aha, I got it. It makes sense, right?
And the attendees are writing these down and they're turning them in. So we give away prizes and such as well for people to share their aha moments. So what we thought we'd do is just review. We don't have near the time to review all 74 of them, but review just a few of the comments that the live event attendees wrote down and turned in as light bulb moments, if you would, from learning at the event. But Chaffee, why don't you take a moment and tell folks about your background and how it is we work together and thus and so.
Sure. So when I was growing up, I was told you got to go to school, get good grades, and get a good job, or J-O-B, as we call it, right? And so that's what I did. I went to school. I got great grades. I'm Asian, of course, so I get, you know, straight A's and good stuff, right?
You're really good at math, right?
That's right. I was good at math. So as a lot of many Asians during my time, we were either doctors or engineers, and I became the engineer, went to college, got good grades again, and got a job as an engineer. So I'm working as an engineer in the corporate world at a multi-billion dollar company. And, you know, always nagging at me, Jay, was I need to do more. I need to do something else because I wasn't made to be an engineer. I was made to do a lot more than go to a job 8 o'clock in the morning, come home at 8 o'clock in the night, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, working for somebody else, doing something that I might be good at, only I don't really enjoy or I don't really have a passion about. So during that time, I decided to start something on the side, and that was my real estate business. Started investing in 2002 and lost a ton of money on my first deal, Jay. Uh-oh. I tell you.
There's one big lesson right there.
That's a book that I need to write, right? of what not to do. And one thing that I didn't have, just to share with everybody, one thing I didn't have was a coach or a mentor to call up and say, what's going on? What am I doing wrong? Or what am I not doing? What should I be doing that I'm not doing? And that's really what got me in trouble, Jay. It was really some of the things that I should have done that I wasn't doing. So it wasn't necessarily I was doing something wrong. It was I was missing some steps. Mm-hmm. I was missing some things that I should have been doing. And so I lost a ton of money on that first deal. Learned, went through the school of hard knocks and you know, lost a ton of money. And then I got smart. And I said, I need help. And so I got a mentor. I got a coach and started doing some more deals. And then I realized how powerful a coach and a mentor can be for somebody's business and success. And that led me to personal development, which led me to fall in love with coaching. And so I started transitioning from real estate into coaching. And then while I was coaching at a real estate event, I met this guy right here, Mr. Jay Connor. And it was like a spark right away. It was like, I like this guy. He resonates. And I like what he's doing. And at that time, you were just starting your Where to Get the Money Now course. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm going to be a speaker and a trainer. Right? I'm like, me too. I'm doing the same thing. I'm a speaker and trainer too. And so we kept in touch over the years. And then, Jay, you started blowing up. I mean, you started teaching and training a whole ton of people. And along the way, you said, hey, Chappie, come join the party. And I was just like, I'm there. Where am I at? And let's join the party. And
you've probably been coming to all of our live events. It's probably been 7 years or more, 7, 8 years, something like that. But yeah, Chappie is helps me run my mastermind group as well. So, wow, mastermind group is like starting to blow up big time.
Yeah.
Because we had 22 of us in the room, thereabouts, 20, 21, 22 of us in the room week before last at the mastermind. And we've like almost doubled that now. Anyway, but yeah, Chappie is a very, very important part of my team when it comes to working with our students and et cetera. So anyway, as I mentioned, we just I've got a few of these aha moments. So let's just go back and forth, Chappie.
Okay.
This first one here. So I'm going to read the aha moment, but then I'm going to ask you to expand on it to really talk about what it means in a very easy, simple, understand way. So George at the live event wrote down his aha moment was substitute collateral, or substituting the collateral allows a lender to continue earning interest on a loan for a longer period of time should the original property sell in less than 6 months. So how about unpack that? First of all, a good place to start with is make sure everybody knows what we mean when we say collateral. What's collateral?
So collateral is what you get in place of the money that you're lending, right? So if this is my collateral, if I don't get paid back my money, I get the cut. And in our case, Jay, or in your case, the collateral is the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get the property. If something happens and you're unable to make that payment back to them, then they can go and get the property. And a lot of times they'll end up with a lot more money when they get the property, because you're only buying those properties at a certain after repair value, 75% of the ARV, as we say. And so they're better off getting the property, only obviously you've always paid everybody back. And so they've never had to use that collateral.
Yeah, these aha moments. So the name of the event that we just had is called the Private Money Academy Conference. So the emphasis of the event is on how to quickly and easily get a lot of private money. So let's be clear, first of all, Chappy, and make sure everybody understands what we mean by private money. What are we not talking about? And who is a private lender? Or what is a private lender?
Oh, you're asking me then.
Yes.
So private, just to be clear, private money typically comes from somebody that doesn't really do real estate. They don't want to get involved in real estate. They're busy or they have other things that they want to do in their life. And they want a greater return on their money. So they're not what we call, sometimes people confuse private lenders with hard money lenders, Jay. And these are professional money lenders. And so they charge points and they charge high interest rates. That's what most people are familiar with. That's what most people use are hard money lenders. They're not banks. They're not institutions. They're just people. Most of these people are retired or, again, they're professionals with high incomes and they have money sitting in a bank or in a retirement account earning them less than 1% typically, and they're looking to earn a lot more.
Yeah. So a private lender is a human being, right? As Chappy just said, it's not, you're not borrowing money from any kind of bank or mortgage company or broker of money. These are individuals. In fact, Carol Joy and I right now have 47 individuals that are loaning us money, investing with us to do deals. We pay them a high rate of return, safe and securely, but nowhere near hard money lender rates. In fact, one thing that's very, very different about this world of private money is we make the rules. As the real estate investor, we set the program. Like, we set the interest rate. We determine how long the notes are. I mean, this is in Kentucky, they call it a 360. It's actually a 180. So it's the opposite direction of how it works when you're borrowing money from a bank. When I was borrowing money from the banks up until 2009, my first 6 years, that's where I thought that's what you had to do. You had to go to the bank and borrow the money to fund your deals from 2003 to 2009. That's what I did. But since that time, and being this world of private money, we create our own program. In fact, at the live event that we just finished, I teach in detail at that event. You'll also learn it here in the book. Exactly what does this program look like? Like, we set the interest rate. How much interest rate would you pay? The frequency of payments, and et cetera. So back to this comment here on this aha moment. George says, substitute collateral allows a lender to continue earning interest. So what I taught in this section was that when you have borrowed money on a deal for your real estate deal, I borrow a lot of what we call seconds or junior lien positions, smaller amounts of private money, not amount of money that I'd use to buy a house, but for rehabbing, say, for example. So I may have like a $30,000 note that I've borrowed to rehab a house. Now, let's say I sell that house and the note has not expired. So if I have another property, another collateral, okay, piece of collateral that I can then keep that note open to that lender can keep earning their interest and I don't have to pay off that $30,000 note in this example, I can just substitute or change the collateral that's backing that note. Does that make sense, Chappy?
Yeah, so Jay, what you're saying is that you don't have to pay back that private lender and pay them all the interest because you still have time left on that note. So instead of them only getting interest on 4 months of payments because you sold the property within 4 months, you know, it's a 12-month note. You got 8 months left. You just take that and put it on another property and they continue to get paid on those 8 months.
Now, something that goes along with that is a lot of times when I have a new private lender that is doing business with us, if I cash out, I'm gonna pay them off or whatever. One of the first things they say is, well, Jay, can't you just keep the money? I don't want the money back. And the answer is you got to either substitute the, if you're doing the business my way, because I don't borrow any unsecured money. It's all backed by real estate. Can I do that legally? Sure. But I want to protect and give the security to the private lenders. So they'll ask, well, can't you just keep the money, Jay? And the answer is I can if I've got another property that I can collateralize that note. In other words, I can't, I'm just not going to keep the money. If you pay it off and you're not substituting the collateral, then the real estate attorney can't keep it in their escrow account, what we call unassigned. And, you know, just, I mean, they're not a savings account, right? So I've either got to pay them back or substitute the collateral. Go to our next one, Chaffee, what we got here on the sheet.
I'm going to skip one. Is that okay?
Sure.
Because I like this one that Felicia made comment on, which is sellers do not know what they will accept until you make the offer.
Yes, that's always an aha moment. So the aha moment is sellers do not know what they will accept until you make an offer. In fact, I've heard you say this 100 times, Chaffee. I never bought a house that I didn't make an offer on, right? So the reason this is such an important point is I just know from experience, it happens all the time. Like, you know, Carol, Joy, and I, and my team, we do 2 to 3 deals a month, right? Not a lot of deals, but 420 rehabs since we started this back in 2003. But anyway, what I've learned over all these years is that regardless of what the seller says is the least they will accept. Now, this is particularly if they're talking to someone else on your team, like the acquisitionist. So I have a full-time acquisitionist that does the initial negotiating with the sellers. So regardless of what they tell Kim, our acquisitionist, then I'll run the numbers. I may not be able to offer that amount of money that they said was the least they would take. So a lot of times I'll go back to Kim and I'll offer much, much less. For example, we've got a house over in Beaufort right now. That lead came in from one of our bird dogs, AKA field agent, AKA ant farmer. Anyway, they sent me a picture of this FSBO sign. And we got up with the seller, Chaffee, and the seller told Kim, in fact, it was an inherited property, told Kim they weren't going to take one penny less than $300,000. We ran the numbers. I couldn't offer $300,000 to make it work. The most I could offer was $250,000. So I went back to Kim. I said, give them the offer. And I'm just not offering $250,000. It's how this offer is framed and presented. I said, all cash, i.e. private money. So I'm using private money to buy it. And then I could close in 7 days. I knew the house was vacant. I knew it was inherited. There's no emotional attachment to this property. And these two sisters just want to cash out. And so I said, we can close in 7 days, all cash, don't have to go get approved for a mortgage or get approved for a loan. And that was $50,000 less than just what they said. The least they take is 300. And Chaffee, they accepted it. Boom. No conversation. They accepted it $50,000 less. So as is written down here, they really don't know. I mean, they may have really thought that in their head. They may not have been playing any games. But when you've got an all-cash offered to you, and you know you can have all that cash in 7 days, I mean, that will affect the way you think, right, Chaffee?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a $50,000 lesson right there, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So the takeaway from that, for me, is if you want the property, make the offer, period.
Let me add why I think that's also very important is that before you even get to the conversation with the seller, Jay, a lot of students that I've talked to that have trouble or challenges finding deals always tell me, like I ask them, how many offers did you make? And they'll say like 2 or 3. I go, why haven't you made more offers? And they'll say, well, the numbers don't make sense. And so that's a wall for them, right? That's a mental wall that says, you know, they look at the numbers from the MLS or the lead sheet or wherever they got that lead from and says, well, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you know, they want more. It doesn't meet the MAO, the maximum allowable offer, or it's above that. So you know, it's not a lead. Let me just throw it away. And regardless of what the numbers say, if you just make the offer according to what your numbers should be, you'll be surprised at how many people will come back and counteroffer or start that negotiation process. Or as you said, Jay, just take it because they want out.
Exactly. And there's an art to making the offer as well. So we're going to make the offer, but we're also going to justify the offer. In fact, many times we will share my formula that I use with the seller. Now I say the math is what makes the decision on what we can do. And we get the white elephant out of the conversation, like right up front. We'll tell, when we're talking to a seller, we'll say, in fact, the sellers that I was visiting with this past Friday, I sat down with them for 2 hours, right? I still make offers myself. I enjoy visiting with people. What else am I going to do, right, Chevy? So I'm sitting down with these people, and so I knew what their number was, and we were $30,000 off. And so I had already gone through the house and looked at the repairs that would be needed and et cetera. And I told them, in fact, I told them right up front, I said, look, I think we're going to work something out, but I'll tell you, it doesn't work out all the time. I mean, we call that the takeaway, right? But I just get the white elephant out of the way by saying, you know what? Unless this is a win for you and a win for her husband that was sitting there as well, unless it's a win for both of you and a win for me, then I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be involved in any transaction to where everybody is not winning. And for everybody to win, all of us have got to give a little bit too for that to happen all the time. So I justified the offer by actually sharing the formula and the math with, I don't want to come across as though I am just like pulling some figure out of thin air and, you know, just trying to make an extra $30,000 and be some greedy real estate investor. It's like, there's an actual formula to where this comes from. And I actually gave him a choice. And what I'm going to bring up now is not on the aha moments, but we talked about it at lunch. And that is, I gave them multiple offers. I gave them a choice. And quite frankly, I was happy with whatever choice they took. I said, look, I can buy this property. Of course, they never heard of subject to the existing note. Nobody's ever heard of it. So you got to dumb that conversation down. But I said, I can pay you all cash, or I can give you $10,000 more if I buy it from you with what we call subject to the existing note, or subject to, as most real estate investors. And they immediately took the $10,000 more. I mean, that's what they had in there. And these people are current. I mean, they got fantastic credit. So just to make sure everybody understands, Chevy, tell our audience and listeners and viewers here, what do we mean by buying a property subject to the existing note?
So when we say buy subject to the existing note, which is not something that you would actually say to a seller, no, right? You're not going to say, I'm going to buy your property subject to the existing note, because that's going to go right over their head, right? So basically, they have a mortgage on their property with a bank or with a credit union or some institution. And all you're going to do is you're going to make their payments for them. So they're not getting rid of that loan. Instead, you're just going to pay those payments as they come on a monthly basis. And they're going to transfer the title of the property to you. So you're going to own the property and make payments as if it was your loan, except the loan stays in their name. So that's right. The only thing. You're making their payments and you're taking over the property, and they can go on their happy way and live their life. So they don't have to worry about those monthly payments anymore. And oftentimes, Jay, with subject to, with the strategy that you use, if somebody is behind on payments, you're actually helping them fix their credit, mm-hmm, because you're making those on-time monthly payments. Now, in this case, they were on time, so you don't have to do that. And as long as you continue to make those payments for them, that's still helping their credit build up, because that's a loan on their property that's being paid on time.
Yeah. So they are actually getting in this transaction that I'm talking about, they are actually getting about $34,000 more than their payoff. So I'm going to use Prime. So I'm buying it subject to the existing note, making the payments on that outstanding balance until I find a buyer and cash out. So the difference that I'm paying them, I explain to them, you're getting the same amount of money in your pocket, whether I pay all cash and pay off your mortgage, or if I buy it, this what I call option B, and explain to them how subject to works. I said, you're still getting the same amount of money in your pocket. It's just a matter of whether I'm going to be paying off your mortgage right now. And so what am I going to do on this deal? I'm buying it subject to the existing note. And then I'm going to borrow private money in a second position or a junior position and use that little bit of private money to go ahead and give them their cash when we close on it. And we're closing on the deal this coming Monday.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's see here. How are we doing on time, Chavvy? And then we got time for maybe one more. Have you got another one or do you want me to just pick one?
There's so many I didn't read through all of them.
Exactly. Well, one aha moment that I read on here is they just made a statement that they hear me say at the live event all the time, and that is you can make really big money in this business in a very, very small market. So what's the population of where you and your family live up in the Chicago area?
There's about 8 million people in the city and the surrounding areas.
Yeah. So he's at 8 million. So me and Carol Joy are here in 40,000. So we do 2 to 3 deals a month, even when it's become more challenging now to find deals in the market that we're in. But we do, as I said, 2 to 3 a month, and we're still averaging almost $70,000 profit per deal. Well, this deal that I'm under contract that I've been telling everybody about. So the ARV is right around $300,000. The after repair value is right around $300,000. And I can put maybe $5,000 in this house, if that, maybe $5,000. It's already been totally rehabbed. There's a little bit left upstairs. Well, here's the math. I'm buying it for $160,000. $160,000 is what we're buying it for. It's worth right at $300,000. And all I got to put in is about $5,000. So I didn't have to take that to the committee to get the approval on that one.
Let me just repeat that so everyone listening understands, OJ, is that these individuals are current on their payments.
Yep.
And the house is worth about $300,000 after repair, and they're willing to sell it to you for $160,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they're allowing you to take over their payments.
Yep.
And is that a real deal, Jay? Do those kind of deals exist?
Well, I'll be able to show you the contract. No, not the contract. I'll be able to show you the deed this coming Monday. But yeah, I mean, and this is not an out of ordinary deal by any imagination. I mean, you know, one question someone may be thinking right now is, well, why would somebody trust me to make their payments and give up all that equity and, you know, be done? I mean, could they put the house in the audible listing service? They could, right? Even though it still needs some repair upstairs. But in fact, I always ask people, well, how in the world did you find us? And we do marketing consistently every day. We do Facebook ads, we do Google ads, we do direct mail to people that are behind and in foreclosure, etc. So I asked this lady, I said, how did you find me? And how is it that we're here at this house? She says, well, we've been living here for 28 years and we know what you do, right? I mean, if you live around here, you're going to see my face and you're going to see my marketing on Facebook. And so she said, so all I did was I just went to Google and I Googled Jay Buys Houses, right? And so there it was. But back to the question, why would someone be willing to do what they're doing? Well, people do things for their own reasons. Sometimes you're not even actually sure, but since I sat down with these people for 2 hours, I know why. He's not, the husband is not in good health, and it's like 100 degrees here, right? And he's been working on this house for over a year, and he came in from the heat last week, and his wife is worried sick that something's going to happen to him. And she's going to be stuck with the burden of this house. Mm-hmm. And she told me that. She told me that multiple times. She says, I just don't, and he was sitting right there. But she said, I just don't want to have the risk of being stuck and having the burden of this. And in fact, on this subject too thing they never heard of, I said, the only thing, I said, with me giving you $10,000 more, option B way, I said, the only thing you have to decide is, are you going to trust me to make your payments? And I said, why wouldn't I make your payments? I can't sell the house and fix it up and all that if I'm not making your payments, right? I don't want the bank to take it away from me, particularly when I'm getting ready to put this rehab money in it, you know? So so the short answer to the question, who would be willing to sell their house this way? And the short answer is a motivated seller.
And that's the key. So I hear it all the time, Jay, is that, you know, I can't find these deals out there. There's no one will ever sell me these properties. And the reason is that you're talking to unmotivated sellers. Most of them are for sale by owner who really they're for sale by owner because they're too cheap to hire a real estate agent. Right.
That's right. So
they're not motivated. They just want more money. And those, you know, I think for sale by owners, you can definitely find some deals with them. If you find the right for sale by owners, only is you got to filter through a whole ton lot of them. And I think it's good practice for you to learn how to speak to people and just realize you want marketing channels in place to get those motivated sellers contacting you so that you don't have to go out there and talk to 1,000 people for you to find the one or two motivated sellers from those FSBOs out there.
Exactly. Well, Chaffee, we are about out of time, so I'm going to let you wrap it up with parting comments and final thoughts.
Parting comments is go out there. Don't be afraid to make offers. Find somebody who you can resonate with, who you like, who has a system and a process that can help hold your hand to do this business and show you how to do the things that you need to do. Unlike me, when I first started, right? Find somebody that's going to teach you this business so that you can do this business and it can allow you to change your life and live life with the passion that you want or do the things that you're passionate about. Because, you know, I hear a lot of people all the time, Jay, I've watched 30 hours of YouTube videos every single week on how to do real estate and I haven't done a deal.
Right.
Well, that's because you don't have somebody like Mr. Jay Connor telling you, guiding you, teaching you, showing you step by step what to do and how to do it. You're watching 1,000 different videos that tell you all different things. So you're either going to pay through the school of hard knocks and learn through mistakes, or you're going to find somebody and go through and hire a good mentor or coach that's going to show you how to do this business and do it successfully. And it's going to be a lot less headaches. So,
for sure.
So you can do this business, just find the right people to work with, and it will change your life.
Chaffee, thank you so much for taking time to come over and join me today.
I love it here, Jay. I'd move here if it wasn't for my wife's family.
There, we'll keep that our secret, right?
That's right.
That's awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, the Private Money Academy podcast. I'm Jay Connor, your host, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. Here's to taking your business to the next level, and we'll see you right here on the next episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. We'll see you next time.